Today's message is really will dovetail to what Justin said last week. So if you were here last week, you'll click on that. There's a lot about God speaking to us from Scripture. So I'm going to start with a prayer and or continue with a prayer. Lord, I'm just grateful that you're the one that shows up. We prayed this morning that if you don't show up, really we don't have anything. And if you show up, that's all we need. So we're just asking that, Lord, that we would hear your voice, respond to it, and we just be able to be right here in your presence. So thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, there was a young family that was riding home from church in the car, and they'd had a baby dedication. They had a little baby in the car, and it was a baby dedication morning, and on the way home, then there's this other brother in the back, young guy, and he just starts crying, just broke out in tears. And the parents are like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" He said, "Well, during the service, the preacher said he wanted us to be raised in a Christian home, and I wanted to stay with you guys." So the idea of this series we're doing, Activate, what we love is, what I would love for me is that this Christian walk makes it all the way home, right? So we have this congruence. So we don't have the church face, the work face, the home life face, that we're congruent, that we're activating, that we're putting God's word in action everywhere at all times, right? Like we're consistent. And so that's where we're at today. All right, so to start off this little story, I worked in the school district for 30 years, and actually I'm back now part-time 2 days a week working with kids again for college counseling, but one of the little perks I got for working at the school was in the fall, the school nurse checks freshmen for hearing. So it's just this, you know, this scan to say, you know, do they need something more or are they doing okay? My suspicion is they always check freshmen because there'll be times when you think these kids can't hear me, right? And so this is proving that they actually can hear you. They can if they want to. So the thing was that because I got always friends with school nurses, I'd cut to the front of the line. I'd say, "Hey, can you check my hearing?" And I did this many times. And they would always do the thing where you raise your right hand when you hear a little beep, and they'd say, "Oh, yeah, your hearing is great." And then here's the funny part. If you ask my wife, like genuinely, she thinks your hearing's going bad. But I have this proof that it's not. But she really can tell, like, you're not listening the same. And so what's come to me is it's not about the physical hearing, right? It's about me paying attention, my focus. And so, like, what I've learned is I really have to, like, turn in, I have to tune in, or I just am not hearing. And it's just something that we have to make. I don't know that it's about getting older, but maybe it is. But I just think that there's this thing in us. And there's a scripture reminded me of scripture in Job 33. And this is this young man is speaking to Job after all his troubles. His name's Elihu, and he says, "For God does speak, now one way or another." So God does speak, though no one perceives it. God is speaking, even if no one perceives it. So the question is really not, is God speaking? The question is, can we hear it? And then, like myself, it's not about the physical hearing. It's something about tuning in, like paying attention. That seems to be what the answer is. So what I'm saying is, how can we work on that? How can we work on our focus or our perception so that we hear when God speaks? All right, so today's talk is a lot about God communicating with us. And so we're going to define the word in the New Testament. So it's very common word. I'm going to keep saying word because that's what the word we're talking about. But word or its synonyms is used in the New Testament 350 times plus, like 362 or something like that. And in the Greek, there's two different meanings for the word word. And that's a little bit unusual. So, you know, when I was looking at my Bible dictionary, I just sort of went to the left and to the right of word just to see. And if you have, like, the word witness, it has 14 different Greek meanings. If you use the word wonder, it has 9 different Greek meanings. If you use the word within, it has 7 different Greek meanings. So a lot of words have lots of different Greek meanings throughout, but this one expression, word or its synonyms, only has 2. And the words are logos and rhema. So let's define those a little bit. Logos is a complicated definition, actually. It's used a lot, over 300 times all by itself. And logos has 3 different ways it's used. There's a standard meaning. So it just means a word or speech in the act of speaking. So if you look at an example of that, Matthew chapter 12, we'll give quite a few examples just to help define these words or help us understand what the definition means. So Matthew 12, 36. I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. So it's just the common sense of the word. So if I say, listen to my words, young man, it's just the common use of that. Another thing is besides the common use, the standard use, is they call it a special meaning. And that's basically the revelation of God to the people. That's what logos means. So if we look at Mark 7:13, you'll see it there. And in verse 13 of chapter 7, it says, "Thus you nullified the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down." And you do many things like that. So this is the logos that really means the big picture of God, the full revelation. God's giving it all to us. That's the logos. So it can be just the way we use in conversation. It can be God saying, "This is the word," right? And sometimes we say that, right? That's why we call the Bible the word of God. That's what that is. It's the full revelation of God. And then there's this very unique meaning, and that is the revelation of God as Jesus. So the full revelation of God in the person of Jesus. So if you look at John chapter 1, we'll see that there. Hang in here with me. This is just definitions, but it'll all come together here. So on John chapter 1, you can see that in the beginning was the Word. That's logos. In the beginning was the logos. And the logos was with God. And the Word was God. The Logos was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And so you just sort of, by reading context, you go, oh, this Word was with God in the beginning, and that Word was through him all things were made, so it's personified. So we start saying, oh, I think I know who that logos is. And then in verse 14, chapter 1, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Oh, that's Jesus. Right? So the logos became Jesus. So it's the full revelation of God, that's the meaning of logos, the full revelation of God in the person Jesus Christ. So Jesus was the logos of God, the full big picture, all right? So that's logos. So now we're going to go to the word rhema, the definition rhema. The meaning of word is also rhema. This is a specific spoken or revealed utterance from God. So a rhema word is considered a specific timely message from the Holy Spirit that provides guidance, comfort, or direction for a particular moment. So very narrow focus. This is what you need today. This is an application. This is what you need today. For example, if we look in Luke chapter 1, and this is about Mary, Jesus' birth being foretold to Mary. from the angel Gabriel. And we can look at what Gabriel said in verse 31 of chapter 1. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So that's the word that came to Mary, and Mary responds just a few verses later in verse 38. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. That's rhema, not logos. That's rhema. May this very specific, just narrow word about me being the mother of Jesus be fulfilled. This is practical, specific application. So that's a rhema to Mary. A few more examples about rhema. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. This is a pretty well-known section about the armor of God. And so just a little background, you put on the full armor of God. We don't stand against flesh and blood, against authorities and spiritual forces. And then we probably, most of us have memorized this sometime, but you have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with readiness. So we get down to verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, the word of God. So that's a very direct, specific application. This is the warfare. The weapon that we have in warfare is a rhema. So a specific word that you use in that moment. So this is one of the things I've heard before is, you know, it's a motivation to memorize scripture. So you have all this scripture built up. So when you need it in the moment, God can highlight what is the rhema for that moment. What word do you need in that instant to be able to fight the battle? So that's another example of rhema. Another one, let's look in the temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Most of us can find Matthew. I don't really need to say that. All right, in Matthew 4, the temptation, 40 days, Jesus was out in the wilderness, and he had been fasting. So I always laugh at verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. That seems like such an obvious thing. So the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered in verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's rhema, every word that comes from the mouth of God. So our subsistence, our existence, our ability to survive is from the specific, applicable words that God gives us. The rhema of God is how we keep going. Right? It's interesting, in a different section in John, Jesus is talking about manna, and how God provided, you know, manna was provided every day what they needed. And Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Right? So in this section, he's saying, look, you live on every word that comes from the mouth of God, because you can't live by bread alone, but actually he's the bread. He's what we need. He's the rhema. So that's another example. One last example of what rhema looks like, so we can get the definitions clear. In Ephesians chapter 5. And this is instructions for Christian households. So how do wives treat their husbands? How do husbands treat their wives? And in verse 25 and 26 of Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. All right. And gave himself up for her. So now this next verse is, how does Christ love the church? How does Christ give himself up for the church? It says, he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the rhema, through the word, through that direct, applicable word that you need in that moment. That's how you get cleansed. Right? It's through the rhema. So the rhema is what we need. The rhema is how we live. The rhema is what keeps us clean. I mean, the rhema is this important part. Now, there is something, as a side note for husbands, he's actually saying this is how husbands are supposed to love their wives,
which implies that we should have specific applicable words for our wives to encourage them, right? We should have rhema for our wives to help them in the moment. So that's just a side note to keep track about, right? So we have these two meanings of the word, logos and rhema. Logos is the broad application. Rhema is the very specific, you know, rubber meets the road kind of an application. So I'm going to give you examples now, and this is the rest of this talk is rhema, not logos, because the name of this series is activate. So rhema is when things happen, when we get activated. These are the practical applications of what is God saying. This is hopefully how our lives change. This is the activation of the things we've been learning about identity or whatever it is. This gets activated, and rhema is the way this can get put into practice. So this series activate, they're saying the word put into practice. That's essentially another definition of rhema, is the word put into practice. So what I'm going to talk about is just three life examples, and then we'll have some time to pray through this. And what I'm noticing in my life and in the scripture is that sometimes a rhema word is just for a season, like you're going through this particular time, and it could be a hard time, a good time, whatever it is, but you get this rhema word for the season. Sometimes it's for a very, just on the moment, in that moment, I have a word, right? We had testimonies when Rory spoke about, you know, maybe praying for a person, right? So he senses I have this rhema word for a person. I'm going to pray for him. And they might say yes or no, but it's that, you know, they have this sense I have this rhema, this word in the moment. And then sometimes we have this rhema word that is a lifelong word for us, right? We have this thing in the church, we call it your life verse. Have you guys heard that? What is your life verse? Well, I'm telling you, that's probably your rhema word for your life. Sometimes it's for a season, sometimes it's for just a moment, sometimes it really is for your life. So what I'm going to do is just give you three examples that illustrate that for me. So not too long ago, in my quiet time, I've been in this little season, I've been reading the New Living Translation, and it just happens to be the 1996 edition. And that matters because you'll see in a moment the verses, they do change them, different translation teams, they develop scriptures. So the 96 is the one I was reading that this verse spoke to me. So I was reading, just minding my own business, reading 1 Corinthians, just reading through it, right? And I got to chapter 8, and I'm reading in the first verse, and this is the verse. Now, and I think I didn't give it to Liam because it's a different translation, but I have it in your notes. Now, let's talk about food that's been sacrificed to idols. You think everyone should agree with your perfect knowledge. While knowledge may make us feel important, it's love that really builds up the church. So I'm just reading that verse about this whole deal about food offered to idols. And that line that pops out is, you think everyone should agree with your perfect knowledge. So Paul's sarcasm popped for me. And I went, oh, he's busting their chops for thinking they know everything and they have it all together. And the Holy Spirit busted my chops for thinking I know everything, I have it all together. I mean, it wasn't very long ago I had this thought that there are 8 billion people in the world and there's only one good driver, right? And it's that idea of you think you know everything. And the Lord took that one line out of 1 Corinthians 8:1 in the New Living Translation 1996 edition and said, oh, you need to watch your arrogance, son. You don't know everything. You see how that rhema like popped for me? That's a season I'm in of the Lord convicting me for being arrogant and thinking I'm the one in the room that knows what's right. It's like, oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. So that's an example of how the rhema comes to you in a season. That's the season I happen to be in. This is how God, that scripture jumped out at me. All right, so let me give you an example of one that was more of a lifelong one. So when I was 18 years old, as a family, we were visiting this pastor friend of ours over in Carbondale, Colorado. And he was a guy I really liked, I really respected. And at the end of the service, just Sunday morning service, and I actually have the date because I have this Bible that I had. This is what we used to call the King James Bible. You guys won't remember this, most of you, but when I was a kid, that the only Bible in existence, I think, was the King James Bible. So I have it in this Bible, and at the end of the service, this pastor friend called me up. He said, "Mark, I think I have a word for you." So it was July 6, 1980. So I was 18 years old, and we were there for the 4th of July, and on that summer morning, he called me up. And this is Jeremiah 23:4, and I'll read it out of the NIV. It's fine. But what's fun is when I looked in this Bible, I have it underlined, circled, and the date written in there. So Jeremiah 23:4, and he just gave me this verse. He says, "I feel like God's given me this to you. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing," declares the Lord. And I'm telling you, that verse just wrecked me. Like, I can't tell you another single verse in the Bible that's changed my life as much as that one has. And that was a rhema for me. It was what we call a life verse, because I started saying, I think God's called me to this. I'm supposed to be a shepherd. And then, you know, as life goes on, this is a whole talk, but how do you walk that out, right? Isn't that the trick? Like, now what do I do? And in those days, all I thought was, well, if you're a shepherd, you're a traditional pastor in a church. That's all we knew, right? And so I've had to work through that and kind of filter through that and whatever, but that verse has never left me. And that verse always guides me. It always directs me. It always is challenging me. Like, are you shepherding? Are you doing what God called you to on July 6th, 1980, right? And so I'll hear other verses that are very meaningful and just, you know, matter. And it'll be something about, you know, the gift of prophecy. I would that all men would prophesy. Or about the gift of healing or mercies or whatever it is. And I always go, oh yeah, that's good. And sometimes we need that and sometimes I need that. But if there's a verse about something being a pastor, being a shepherd, I come alive, right? I wake up and I lean forward and I go, oh, now how does that work? And over the years, I have really come to the interpretation that's like I'm a shepherd, but I'm a father. I'm a pastor, right? Like that's who I am. And I've seen how does that walk out in everyday life, whether I'm at school or if I'm building cabinets or, you know, I'm here. Like, what does that look like? So that's an example of a life message, like a life verse for me. Then the third kind of rhema word is just for the moment. Like, you need this right now. You are desperate in this moment. You need to hear from God. And example that came to me that was very strong was maybe 2 years ago, not maybe, a little over 2 years ago, I had open heart surgery. So I had gone to the heart doctor, I had two bad valves, I had a hyper-enlarged chamber, they had to do stuff. And so I knew I had 2 weeks' notice or so, I'm going to go in, this real deal, they're going to split my rib cage apart, you know, yank it open, blah, 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 so like, it's not the worst thing in the world that can happen, but for me, it was kind of a big deal, right? And so I was, as a person does, I was praying, I was reading scriptures. We always turn to the Psalms, right? Like, oh, it's a hard time, let's turn to the Psalms. And so I was just doing that. And check out this verse that I came across that became rhema to me, like that popped and exploded for me, was Psalm 147, verse 3. And I promise that wasn't the first time I ever read that verse, but I read the scripture, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I just went, oh my goodness, that's not a metaphor. That's a literal verse. I need God to heal my broken heart and bind up my wounds. And that was so encouraging in that moment, right? Like God just spoke to me in that moment. And like, I'm going to heal your broken heart. I'm going to bind up your wounds. And I needed that. Like, I'm going to go have surgery. And I just, like, that was my scripture that I could hold on to. That was a rhema for the moment. It was huge. And it still is a good metaphor. It still matters if we're going through emotional brokenness. It still matters. But for me, in that moment, it was very meaningful, right? So those are the examples of rhema can be for the moment. It can be for a season. It can really be for your life. And so now what I want to do is say, well, now how do we respond to that? And Bethany, it'd be great if you want to play some music. How do we respond to this call that God has something for us? And I think there's two things. I think one thing is if we're hurting and we say, man, I wish, if there's a little jealousy in you, I wish God would give me a rhema word, right? Like I'm in a place where I could use that. This is a time when we could get that. We could pray. We're going to have ministry team come up and they could pray with you. We could ask God for a rhema word for you. There's this very strong truth, and there is some Bible that goes with it, but I don't have a verse off the top of my head. But basically, God meets us at the point of our need. When we say, I am needy, and we come to that realization, it's like an epiphany, like I'm needy, that's where God shows up in that moment. That's where God shows up. And so I'm saying that if you feel that, if you say, ah, I am in need, this is the moment God could meet you. And so God could show up and give you a rhema. And it could be a season. You'd be like, man, I've been going through it in my family, in my work, whatever. It may be a season. But it also may just be in the moment. It may be things that you wish were going to happen, right? And you've been struggling with that. You've been wrestling with that. Well, God could give you a rhema word. So the one thing we could be praying about is, can God meet me in this moment? The other thing that we could get prayer for is basically repentance. God could have given you a word and you knew it was God. 100%. You said, man, I know God spoke that to me. And guess what? I just didn't do it. I said, I don't got it. You know, I can't follow through. I can't do that. Well, it's okay to repent about that. And say, Lord, I'm going to give it another shot. I'm going to sign back up. I got this interesting word in church. And this was years ago, and I've told this story before. But, you know, this lady was here and kind of well-known woman of God. You know, she was traveling the world and preaching all over and, like, pretty well-known. And she said, Mark, come up here. I have a word for you. I'm like, oh, yay. You know, word from God. I was thinking, you know, I will never leave you or forsake you. I love you, my little child, you know. And she said, God says your feet are stuck in concrete. Good. But what I found out, that was a rhema word. And so that challenges me all the time. Of am I stuck in my patterns? Like, there are people that love change. Guess who's not one of those, right? And so that word continues to challenge me and push me. And it's a moment of repentance for me when I just all of a sudden go, oh, yeah, you're just stuck. You're not willing to try something new. I have to repent. And it's based on that rhema word God gave me. So, ministry team, if you want to come up, and then if we could stand together. So the idea, again, is we may be in that moment where we have need and we go, I need to hear from God. Well, great. That's why we're here, to help you pray for that. And we're not going to promise that we have the rhema word for you, but we're going to ask. And God might just show up, right? This might be the moment. You may go home with something that will sustain you, right? Because it's every word that comes from the mouth of God, that's what gives us life. And so today may be the day that you get a word that sustains you. Or you may have something that you go, I know God told me this. God called me to this. God told me this. And I haven't been obeying. It would be good for me to repent with somebody and just say, man, I just have to say I'm sorry. And I'm going to give it another shot. All right? Okay, so let me pray for you. And then if you want ministry, please come up. Lord Jesus, we need you. And we really do need your word, Lord. We rely on you. Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. And if you don't show up, there's nothing here for us. So I just ask, Lord, that in this house today, in this family, for those that sense that they need you in this area, that you would meet them there, we just release the freedom of the Holy Spirit to speak. We ask you to open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to understand what you have for us. And we just ask that in Jesus' name.